28. Ronan woke with a start. He was in the top bunk in the room he was sharing with Bride. It was still dark. He rolled over quietly to see if Bride was sleeping. The lower bunk was empty, the blankets tossed aside. Ronan grabbed his jeans from where they were tossed at the end of his bunk, his jacket from the plastic unicorn head on the wall, and his boots from beside the door. He stepped quietly into the dark hallway. Bride crouched there over a collapsed form. Matthew. One of Matthew's hands was palm up, and in it was a little figurine of a hawk. He was obviously dead. What did you do? Ronan snarled.
Correlation is not causation, Ronan Lynch, Bride said.
Adam appeared briefly at the end of the hall and just as quick was gone. What did you do? Bride said.
Wake up.
Ronan woke with a start. He was in the top bunk in the room he was sharing with Bride. It was still dark. He rolled over quietly to see if Bride was sleeping. The lower bunk was empty, the blankets tossed aside. Ronan grabbed his jeans from where they were tossed at the end of his bunk, his jacket from the plastic unicorn head on the wall, and his boots from beside the door. He stepped quietly into the dark hallway. Bride crouched there over a collapsed form.
Matthew.
One of Matthew's hands was palm up, and in it was a little figurine of a hawk. He was obviously dead. What did you do? Ronan snarled.
Correlation is not causation, Ronan Lynch, Bride said.
Adam appeared briefly at the end of the hall, and just as quick was gone. What did you do? Bride said.
Wake up.
Ronan woke with a start. He was in the top bunk in the room he was sharing with Bride.
It was still dark.
He rolled over quietly to see if Bride was sleeping. Bride was already standing by the bunk, eye to eye with Ronan, somehow less like himself, frighteningly close. He didn't smile, but he was all teeth. He said,
"Whose dream is this?"
Ronan woke with a start.
He was in the top bunk in the room he was sharing with Bride. Full white winter daylight streamed in the window. It was quiet, but nonetheless Ronan had that feeling one sometimes has on waking, the feeling of having been woken by a sound, in this case, a scream.
He lay there in bed for a few seconds, listening, waiting. And now it sounded instead like a very intense conversation was happening deeper in the house. He listened to it long enough to feel he was awake, or at the very least that this dream was going to be different from the previous ones. He got dressed and headed out. There was no one on the first floor where school supplies spread across the dining room table, so Ronan descended to the basement. It took him a moment to absorb the full picture. There was a painting of a woman in a swirling blue dress completely covering 12 of the stacked boxes. Not dreamt, done with real paint, some of it still a little dark and damp. The desk tucked beside the boxes held bottles of cheap school paints and paper plates with childish smiley faces drawn on them. Hennessy must have been painting with the children. The cheap school colors didn't seem like they should combine to the sophisticated work on the boxes, but this wasn't magic. This was Hennessy. This was what she was good at, what she was great at. Hennessy stood in front of her cardboard mosaic, one hand pressed up against the roses tattooed round her throat, looking at the ground. There was vomit on the ground in front of her. Bride was there, blood all up and down one arm with no sign of where it was coming from. He stood silent as Angelica screamed in his face. The children were all crying. Katie was curled up small, her arms linked around her leg braces, whimpering. Yesenia was sobbing and occasionally babbling, hoarse when she did.
Stephen was trying to look stoic as he watched Angelica let Bride have it, but his mouth was crumpled and his chin dimpling in a way that reminded Ronan uncomfortably of when Matthew was upset. Wilson and Anna clung to Angelica, faces buried in their mother's shirt. There was blood on her clothing, too.
"What the hell?" Ronan said, but his words were lost in the cacophony.
"Accidents happen," Bride said, "and surely you can tell by looking at her she didn't mean to do it."
"It doesn't matter that it is an accident," Angelica barked back. "Traffic collisions are accidents. That doesn't mean I send my children to play in the street."
"I was only a minute behind her in the dream," Bride pointed out. "They were never in danger." Angelica swept her arm over the children.
"You and I have a very different definition of danger. I saw those things. That thing. I saw it. It..."
Her anger had to disappear for a moment as she choked down a horrified half-sob. Hennessy looked up at Ronan, her expression quite calm, but when she blinked, two tears immediately broke free and raced down her cheeks. Then Ronan got it. She'd taken out the lace. Bride had dispatched it somehow, but Ronan knew that didn't really matter in the relative scheme of things. The injury of the lace wasn't whatever sparring had caused that blood. It was the mere existence of the lace. It was that before you saw the lace, you didn't know something like the lace could exist. Especially if you hadn't known before that minute that anything could hate you that much. Especially if you hadn't known before that minute that you could hate yourself that much. Katie had stopped whimpering and was staring off at nothing, her eyes lost. Hennessy looked at Ronan and shook her head as another tear escaped.
"I'm so sorry," she told Angelica. "I'm so sorry. I'm so..."
"Who are you to have that in your head?" Angelica said. Then her eyebrows sort of got themselves together and her entire expression got harder.
Ronan could tell that whatever she said next was going to be absolutely true and would absolutely destroy Hennessy. Before she could say it, Bride held up a hand. He turned to Ronan and Hennessy.
"Get your things, then get in the car." "Why?" Hennessy asked in a hollow voice.
"Actually, forget your things. I'll get them. Just get in the car," Bride ordered. He turned back to Angelica, and as they left, Ronan heard him say,
"You might remember that dreamer was a child once, too, not very long ago."
Outside the car, Hennessy stopped dead and simply stared at it and through it. It was not because it was invisible. She was staring at and through everything in front of her. Her eyes were so bleak and her shoulders so defeated that Ronan wrapped his arms around her.
"I'm not a doll, Ronan Lynch," she said, her voice muffled. "Take your hands off me."
He just hugged her tighter, though, as she cried into his chest. A few minutes later, Bride came out, looking worn and blank, Ronan's and Hennessy's bags over his shoulders.
"Call your brother," he told Ronan. "Tell him we can see them for a few hours."